Well, Merry Christmas. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. We're just glad that you're here with us today. My name's Jay. I'm one of the pastors here, and just want to give you a welcome, especially if this is your first time here. If you've not been here before, we just want to welcome you and thank you for being with us here on Christmas Eve together. And when we think about Christmas Eve, we have this theme this year of peace on earth, and that comes from the angels declaring that this is what this child is coming to do, is to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And we hear that, and we think of the snow falling gently and all these peaceful items that we've talked about before, how it didn't probably seem too much like peace. I mean, I've got a picture here of the, like, so this is kind of the picture that we get, is it just looks very peaceful. Mary, looks, very much like she has not just given birth to a baby, and, Joseph is the doting father and a couple of very well-behaved animals. And, I don't know. I've never given birth personally. I mean, that's not something I've been through, but I've witnessed a few. And they didn't quite look like that. There's a lot of crying and screaming and yelling, and that was just me. So Lauren was more calm. But I mean, I just think about how it just doesn't compute. Like having a baby. I mean, when my babies were born, I mean, if you wanted to even touch the baby's hat, you had to go through a sterilization shower. Like, I'm pretty sure that a donkey wouldn't make the cut in our room. And Mary is gotta be thinking about that. I mean, even think about the way that we project our view of peace. We like to take our definition of peace and what we think of it as, and we put it on God and we put it on scripture. And we do this even the song, I'm thinking about the song of Away in a Manger, where it says this line: the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. No way. That's not true. That's not, I mean, if the cattle is mooing and it wakes up the baby, everybody knows when you have a brand new baby, there's one rule: don't wake the baby, right? So the cow is waking the baby. Like, this is not a quiet, this isn't going to be a quiet and a peaceful place. And so Mary is sitting there and she's given birth to this baby, and then these shepherds come in. These shepherds come in that they're strangers, and they say, "We've heard of this baby's birth. These angels appeared to us, and they say that he's come to bring peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. This is glory to God in the highest." And so they deliver this message to Mary, and I have to imagine she's thinking, "Peace? I mean, I just gave birth naturally, by the way, in a barn with shepherds over here, like, ogling us, and this flank steak over here just woke up the baby. It doesn't feel like peace, right?" And we can relate to that, right? Because we look at our lives and we look at the world and we say, this doesn't look like peace. And so we sing these songs and we hear about peace on earth. And if we're honest, a lot of us sit there and we wonder, where is this peace? Across the world and across our country, we live in a nation that's more divided, arguably more divided than ever. Doesn't feel like peace here. We see on the news the horrors of what's going on in Syria, in Aleppo, and it doesn't seem like peace. When we hear the tragedies and the persecution of our brothers and sisters, doesn't seem like peace. And then we even look in our own lives and we look around in our own heart and our own situations and we wonder, where is this peace that's promised as I find stress, as we find stress in a broken marriage or in kids that have run off course and there's nothing that we can do. Or for many of you, this may be the first Christmas that you've gone through without someone that's very close to you. And you wonder, where is this peace? And what are we missing when this peace is declared? And I think the issue is that we don't have eyes to see like the angels saw. As the angels are declaring peace on earth, they've been waiting with anticipation this coming of this king. See, we equate peace with clean and quiet and calm, but those things aren't peace. Peace is peace. There are peaceful moments. The peace that we often chase after and pursue are fleeting moments. They're just these little bits that we try to manufacture or create for our own, and they can look like peace. They can seem like peace. I know that right now in Syria, there are moments of peace. There are moments of quiet and stillness where if you just got a little glimpse of a moment, that it would seem like things are peaceful, but it's temporary. It's fleeting. It's a mirage. See, the peace that the Bible talks about is not the absence of conflict or the absence of mess. It's this concept of shalom, which the idea of shalom is that peace is creation, all of creation coming back into rhythm with the Creator. That's where peace is. See, the peace is everything in rhythm. Peace can be joyful and noisy and exuberant. It's not always quiet and calm. But peace is lasting and deep. See, the Bible's claim, the claim that's before us, is that God is the creator of everything. And he created all the heavens and the earth, and he created us, and it was good. And it was in perfect shalom. It was in perfect peace. It was in perfect rhythm with him. We were in perfect relationship with him. And then sin knocks the world out of sync with its creator. The world has pushed against the rhythm of how things were meant to be, and thus there is no peace. See, the peace that is offered in this humble baby, the thing that is so incredible about it, is that this little baby is not just the messenger of peace. This little baby is peace. That we don't just find our peace as coming from Jesus. We find that Jesus is our peace. In John 16, Jesus says this to his disciples, that he is getting ready to leave them. And so the whole chapter of John 16 is Jesus telling his disciples, I'm going to be leaving you. That you've been following me, you've been walking with me, and I'm going to be leaving. Now there's going to come a day here very soon where I won't be walking with you in the flesh. And he ends that whole, it's interesting, that whole chapter, I'd encourage you to read it sometime on your own, because you see the disciples, their confusion and some fear and some, just trying to figure out, what does he mean by this? What's he talking about? And Jesus, ends this entire section with this verse. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, the idea of the incarnation, which is God becoming flesh, the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, that is the offering of peace through the overcoming of the world. And the overcoming of the world is a decidedly unpeaceful act. There are tribulations. Jesus wants to let them know that in me you'll have peace, but you will have tribulations in the world, that following Jesus will have you colliding with the world, like a rushing river crashing against a huge rock. He says that to them earlier in this chapter in verse 20. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. The overcoming of the world is the process of Jesus coming to restore all things to the way the Creator intended. He is the peace, but we push back. The world pushes back, and that's why we get disrupted in our lives, and we feel like we're moving sometimes against the current. So many of us have expressed that when you're trying to follow Jesus and you say, I feel like I'm moving against, like I'm moving through quicksand, or I'm moving against the current. That's because the world is resisting the peace that God has offered in Jesus. See, Jesus offers eternal peace. It's the promise that he has overcome the world, and someday that will all be realized, where everything is restored to its former glory and everything is perfectly the way the Creator intended. But the promise is also that we can have peace here. That the peace on earth is not just a future thing. It's here right now amid the rushing waters of life. That kind of peace is possible. And that's the peace that Jesus is telling his disciples about. That in me, you have peace. Even as there's trouble around you or tribulation around you in this world, take heart, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. This is the claim of Christmas. This is the claim of the Bible. And so as we sing about these things, as we hear stories, even as we hear a story from a children's Bible that I maintain is one of the best theological books I have read, even as that happens, that my encouragement to you in this moment while you're here to consider these claims. Consider this idea. If this is true, then what? If God created the world, and he created it good, and he created it in true shalom and true peace. But what if it is our rebellion that has knocked it out of sync? And in Jesus, rather than abandoning us, he rescues us. He rescues us who were in rebellion, and he turns his enemies into his children. That's peace. That's peace on earth. That's peace in our hearts. That's peace in our lives. And it is real and it is abiding. And these are the claims before us. And so as we worship together, let's consider these claims and consider if this is true, then what? So this baby, this offering of peace with God grows into a man. And he lives this life that we were called to live but couldn't. He lives this life before God. And in that he pushes against the currents of the culture, and the world doesn't receive him. The world resists him, pushes against him and tries to trap him and to discredit him and ultimately to kill him. And it stands to reason as he pushes against this current of sin and this current of evil that is in the broken world, falling out of sync with our Creator, that it stands to reason that the biggest current of evil, that of sin and death, colliding against the greatest current of good manifested in Jesus Christ, would be the cause of the biggest crash in human history, the death of Jesus on the cross. The Bible talks about that moment as the sky turns black and the earth shakes. The temple curtain is torn into two, pure evil with pure holiness colliding. God's wrath against all sin and all humanity of all of history coming down, not on us, but on his Son. And we find in our lives when we are lacking peace that we are fighting against the shalom and the peace that God offers us, the one who rescues us and who pursues us and redeems us. So much of the pain in our lives is a result of pushing against that rhythm. So much of it is found in, as we look for other ways to find that peace, we try to chase other things. We look for the calm waters, thinking that those calm waters will give us the peace that we're looking for, and we find that they're temporary. We find that they leave us empty. We spend our time bouncing around from philosophy to philosophy, or to this thing or that thing, or this group of people or that relationship or that job. And they don't bring peace. This is why we talk about Jesus. Following Jesus doesn't necessarily make your life easier. It does offer peace and joy, but not ease, because the current of the culture and of the world is pushing against. And if you look for those calm waters, you may find something temporary, but it is fleeting and it won't last. Like a still moment in a war-torn city, it is fragile and it will fall. But the peace that God offers in Jesus Christ is steady and unchanging and lasting because Jesus is steady and unchanging and lasting. This is why he tells the disciples, this is why he tells them, find your peace in me. He doesn't say, find your peace in obeying the law or in being a good person. He doesn't say, find your peace in doing things for God. He says, find your peace in me. Abide in me. In John 15, he talks about abiding with me. Be in the Word. Be in a life that is spent walking with Jesus and knowing Jesus. That the picture that we have is that Jesus is saying, why would you want to find your peace in calm waters when you can walk with the one who calms the waters? Why would you want to go looking for that anywhere else when everything that you need is manifested in me? Shalom, perfectly represented in this king. This is what people throughout the history of the world had been chasing. You go back to the beginning of creation when Adam and Eve are out of the garden, and then you go through the course of human history. The people of God and the people outside of the nation of Israel longing for peace, wanting peace, searching for peace. And then in this baby, peace is offered, but not like you think. Not like I think. So when Mary is there, it's why in the midst of what probably was some craziness at the time, it's why in Luke 2, it says that she treasured these things, these things that the shepherds were saying to her, she treasured them in her heart. She treasured them. This is the encouragement this evening, that as you go through celebrations that you may have this evening, the meals that you'll share with loved ones, presents that you may open, that those would all just be symbols that would point you to the peace that is offered to you. If we store these things in our heart, if we store these beautiful words from Jesus, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So the bits of the next 24 hours and beyond that don't feel like peace, that don't look like peace, my hope is that these words of Jesus would be stored and treasured in your heart. And then we see why he says, take heart. He says, take heart, find your peace in me, abide in me, take heart. You will have tribulation in the world, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. As you see things that remind you of this, I pray, my prayer is that your heart will be stirred, your mind will be stirred, to consider these things, that in Jesus we've been offered lasting and incomprehensible peace. Hear now what John says about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's in him we find our peace. Amen. Go in peace.